Man Bites God presents Theater of the World.
This I know to be true. Welcome to Theatre of the World. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
And we're Man Bites God, even though we're also those other names as well at the same time.
We can be two things.
We can be two things. Don't define us.
We're three things.
I'm like four or five things.
Yeah. Most of them unmentionable.
Most they just yell about from cars.
Today's episode is called Ouch.
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 Ouch, the noise you make when you are in pain.
It's the pain.
It's the pain noise.
When someone throws a thing from you, from a car.
Listening to that sentence, for example. We should begin it. How I knew we were ready to do a podcast?
How?
Turn up to the Theatre of the World studios and Mark's got Wikipedia open. So I assume we're going to be treated to some fact bombs.
Fact bombs. Mark's got a fact bombs.
Internet fresh.
A defensive injury is an injury sustained by the victim of an attack while defending themselves against their assailant. An offensive injury is an injury sustained when some fucking cunt punches you in the dick or some shit.
That's the legal wording? Yeah, okay.
A defenestrative injury is an injury sustained when you fall out of a window. A definite injury is the injury. Fact bombs.
Well done.
Thank you.
I learned so many things.
I'm full of learning, bombs. Full of wisdom. Surely a defensive injury is when someone goes, "You're injured." No, I'm not. Why would you say that?
Your mum's injured.
Your mum's injured. I injured your mum with my cock or something. Dentist.
Dentist.
That's what I want to talk about.
All right, talk about a dentist.
But I want to introduce it like this. I want to introduce it as a funny thing happened to James on the way to the podcast.
A funny thing happened to James on the way to the podcast.
To the podcast.
Good enough.
Denied.
Not, draw it out. It's you know.
Denied. Denied the whole second... three quarters of that jingle. Yeah.
It's the radio edit. It's the radio edit. Don't lie and say you haven't done the radio edit before. So, dentist. Ouch. Holy shit. I hate the fucking dentist. I haven't been in ages and I've got the teeth of a homeless person and he wants them back.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? So I finally caved in and I went to the dentist and... Here's the funny thing that happened. Now, it was awful because it wasn't too bad, but he had to scrape years of shit off my teeth, which is fine. That's what we were there for. So here's what he's done. He and his assistant have sat me down. They're either side of me. They've both got both hands in my mouth, right? It's like I'm like a magic bag. And they're pulling things out of me. Like, it's amazing. Like, so my mouth is full of fingers.
Full of dentists.
I am taking on two guys at once.
You're double teaming.
Yeah. I'm being double teamed. And and in fact, it wasn't two guys. The dentist was male and his assistant was female.
Hello.
And I point that out because during the procedure, 20 fingers in my mouth.
Yes. Gosh.
The dentist decides to fire his assistant. During that moment, it was amazing. So I'm there, and you can imagine how inactive you have to be when you're at the dentist. It's the most passive you can ever be because not only are you in a chair and reclined, so you're incapacitated. Mm. Plus, you have all sorts of pain, which incapacitates you. Plus, you've got fingers in your mouth, so you cannot talk anyway. Plus, the last thing you want to do is piss anybody off because they have your life in their hands. One flick of a drill or of a thing and your thing's all fucked. So, you're there and you're in that moment and that's when you hear, you're looking up through your tiny scared face, and the dentist then turns to his assistant and goes, hey, come on, you're getting, you know, you're getting water on his away from his bib and on his clothes. That's not why people come to us to get water on their clothes. And his assistant, who is a young, clearly new apprentice dentist, that's fun to say. Apprenticed. That's a fun word. She's got, oh, I'm sorry. And you can hear her kind of making adjustments in my mouth. And so she's, so she's nervous and fumbling with instruments. And he's going for the kill. He's going, he's saying things like, we don't do it like that. And you've put his bib on backwards. By the way, she had put my bib on backwards. But, that's not how, you don't know anything. You young people, you come out of school. She bursts into tears. She runs out of the room. I was mixed for me because there were less fingers in my mouth, which was great. But I'm in the middle of a procedure and the dentist turns to me as if I have to tacitly agree with everything he's done and gone, oh, young people, you just can't get any work out of them. They come out of university, they think they know everything. They don't know anything. No technique. Like a tortured genius. Like my dentist is a tortured genius. And I was tortured by a genius. Mm. And his other assistant, who clearly he likes more, came into the room and said quietly, well, she's not coming back. And that was it.
Wow.
Like the other assistant, who was obviously less new, continued my procedure and occasionally turned to the older dentist, the cranky dentist, and said, I don't think you can talk to her like that. And she was crying and she seems really upset. And there I was through the whole thing, just sitting there with a mouthful of people.
And no sucker anymore.
They had a little sort of thing.
They just left the sucker in your mouth.
Yeah, the sucker was everyone. But holy Christ. How intense is that?
That's
you are watching a workplace incident unfold and you're center stage. It's like they're performing inside of you.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. But I tell you what, maybe it was all staged. Took my mind off the pain.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a thing. I don't know. Ouch.
Yeah. That's crazy. It reminds me of my old dentist. He used to, this is a previous dentist who I no longer go to anymore, so I can bag him out all I want. But,
as opposed to the dentist who currently you see and listens to this podcast.
Yeah. And he, cause he knew that I made films and inevitably once they had their fingers in my mouth, they would then discuss terrible films.
Yeah.
And I'd be there going, and they'd be doing things like, oh, who's that guy who's in that film? And he was in Titanic as well. And he was in that Scorsese film recently.
Billy Zane.
I'm going, oh, no. And then they would ask me. And they go, oh, you know who it is. And I go, And then I would have to go through the entire procedure and then go, yeah, it was DiCaprio. And that was it. They would do it every time. It was so frustrating. The other frustrating thing about that dentist is that he would complain about my teeth being terrible, like the teeth of a homeless man.
Yeah.
And then he would say, yeah, well, you know, humans were never meant to live this long anyway. And that was like meant to make it better. Yeah. Like, oh, that's all right. You know, we're just all meant to fall apart. So
I'm waiting for my third set of teeth to come in. I don't understand why we get two sets and we burn the first set very, very early.
Yeah.
And then nothing. Where's our third set of teeth? Where's the evolution for that? Stupid. I want a meeting and I want new teeth and I want everything to be nice and I never want to go to the dentist again. Because, like, a part of me left, and this is the thing, I was so torn because I went, that was kind of mean what he did to that. He kind of belittled that person in front of me. But it was great that he's so passionate that he just wanted to get everything right. You could see, like, it didn't come from a place of bullying. It came from a place of exacting you know, precision. And I went, yeah. I'm so torn here because I'm like, I want that guy to be exacting and precise and right on. But I don't want to see a young, up-and-coming, nice person be yelled at.
You don't want to have them sacked in the middle of your dental procedure.
Happened.
Perhaps before or after.
Happened.
One way or the other.
How weird was that?
Yeah.
The guy, at the end of all of it, when I'm sort of coming to and rinsing blood out of everything... The young assistant who took over, but the other assistant, who's obviously okay, turned to me and said, yeah, sorry about the show. That's all right. Is there a cover charge?
Yeah, there is. About $300-400.
Yeah. God. Awful.
It's weird. I knew he was a good dentist, though, because he had plaques all over his walls.
Bang.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Anyone else?
You go.
All right. Well, I have written a play.
Ooh, I'm a play.
Yeah, I'm getting into the theatre.
You should tell yourself what sort of sound effects you want.
Yes.
Do you know what? I think I've instinctively gone with low sound effect.
Knowing that you're the one who edits.
It's a man trapped in a room, soundproof room.
Yeah. That's right.
Everyone is
void.
Deaf. The audience is deaf. It's a play. It's in three acts.
Oh, Jesus.
Three-act play, yes.
It's a very short podcast, Mark. Are we going to be...
We'll be there. There'll be an intermission.
Huh? Okay, great.
Really?
Sure. Why not?
We get popcorn.
Act one. I don't know what the play's called, by the way.
Can we suggest titles after?
Can we clap at the end of the act?
Oh, yeah, we should.
Of course you can.
Great.
All right, good. I'm excited. I'm being performed for.
Act one. Two men are sitting on a park bench. After an extended period of silence, man one coughs mightily. Man two, that's a nasty cough. Man one, yes, I'm not well. I have pleurisy. Man two,
Jesus.
Pleurisy? Don't you mean... pleurisy? Man one, no, I've had it more than once. More silence. End of act one.
Bravo.
Encore.
Author.
Author.
Act two.
It's like Oscar Wilde.
Two elderly women walk along a footpath towards each other. Both are carrying heavy shopping bags. As they meet, one old woman drops her shopping bags and clutches her side, groaning. Woman one, ow, oh, ah, etc. Woman two, my goodness, what's wrong? Are you all right? Woman one, it's all right, I'll be fine. I just sometimes have these crippling abdominal pains ever since I had my hysterectomy. Woman two, hysterectomy? Don't you mean hysterectomy? Woman one. No, I had it ages ago. End of act two.
Bravo. Right. Hot dogs.
Intermission.
Intermission.
Do you want to get a beer or popcorn or something?
Sure. Sounds like a good idea. Can I have a choc top?
Sure. I might go to the toilet for a quick wank.
Done.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, hang on. I didn't finish.
Act three. A doctor's waiting room. Man one and woman two are engaged in conversation while they wait.
Yeah.
Woman two, and then I saw a different doctor, and I think he must have been a Hindu. Man one, why is that? Woman two, well, he suggested I use a mantra to help me lose weight. Man one, really? A mantra? Woman two, yes, I told him I wanted to lose weight and asked what he recommended. And he said to me, you want to lose weight? Fat chance. They are interrupted by the receptionist who walks into the room. Receptionist. I'm very sorry, sir, madam. I'm still not able to reach the doctor. His phone is engaged. Man one. That's the problem with these oncologists. They all laugh. Man one coughs. Woman two groans and clutches her side. End.
Bravo. Oh, bravo.
Author. Flowers. Oh, goodness. Now I know why I haven't been to the theatre in years.
Yeah. It's rubbish.
It put me in mind of...
Samuel Beckett's doctor jokes.
Felt like I was in an old episode of The Muppet Show. Goodness me.
Gosh, that was punishing.
That's yeah. crazy.
Pun intended.
Punishing. Oh, dear. Well.
5 stars.
Goodness.
From the roaring mills in the timberlands, from the shores of wooded lakes, comes Nakusa, Nakusa, Nakusa. Comes the finest paper man can make.
I've got a quick segment.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chris's website.
Excellent. Chris's website.
Yeah. You know, in researching pain on the internet, I discovered a lot of things that I wish I could unsee.
Yeah, sure. Not
but,
safe for work.
I felt like I should share with everybody a little a website I found where you can literally, and it's just absolutely chockers packed full of videos of people being injured.
Mm.
So if you head down to www.youtube.com, you can look in Google or Bing, it doesn't matter.
I'd probably look in Google.
Yeah, do it in Google.
Because it's owned by
Google. Yeah. And you
YouTube.
Should be able to find some things. Yeah, YouTube is called YouTube.
The
so
letter U.
Check it out.
And tube, C-H.
Choo-choo.
O-O-B.
Yeah. I mean something. Yeah. The internet will correct
a tube.
That's
bless
it.
You.
I'm still in Mark's play. Help! I'm trapped in Mark's play. Stop!
Bravo.
Act 4.
Cool, I've seen 4. Oh, that was it?
That was it. That was my website. That was my website. I thought I'd drive some traffic. They're a little website. They're very. They're just a up-and-comer. And I think
they'll be grateful for the hits.
They need some
ouch.
More audience to go and watch them.
Oh, let's do James's list of things.
Done.
James's list of things. James's list of things. James has got some things to list.
Ding. Google.
Ouch edition.
Should be Google, not Bing at the end of that. Okay. This has nothing to do with Ouch, but I've been sitting on these for weeks.
Okay.
And I try to crowbar them into one of our shitty topics, and it's never going to happen. There's never going to be a topic that is going to suit. I'm just going to do it today, right. Unapologetically, except for this apology. 10 historical bumper stickers. 1, the Reverend Spooner. Horn if you're honky. 2, William Shakespeare, tragic happens. 3, the Marquis de Sade, my other car is your father's mouth. 4, Bob Dylan, I break just like a little girl. 5, Amelia Earhart, no one is my co-pilot. 6, ship happens. It's Noah, obviously. Grandmaster Flash, if you can read this, you're too close to the edge. Herman Melville, save the whales, for me, for later. Julius Caesar, I neither drive nor vote. And finally, my favourite, historical bumper stickers, Immanuel Kant, maybe on board.
James's list of things.
That's my list of things. Desperate for weeks. I've had that for weeks. Just sitting around trying to cry. Oh, impossible. So there
that
you
is
go.
Glorious.
Ouch, who cares?
You could have suggested you should have suggested bumper as a an episode title, but it's fine. All the rest of us would have had nothing.
Bumper.
You know. Like bumper stickers.
Sure.
Then, like a radio bumper.
Have you got a segment, Chris?
Yes. Thank God.
So my segment is called Chris's Ouch Moments.
Oh, do you want a theme song?
Sure.
Mark?
Chris's Ouch Moments. Do, 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 do. Chris's Ouch Moments.
Really?
Do, do, do,
do,
do. Crouch. It. Crouch.
Ah, we'll cut that. Go.
Sorry. All the theme tunes are getting strangely familiar.
Oh, fuck you. Think of your own theme.
I'm derivative,
your own
am I?
Fucking theme tune.
Fuck you.
He tries his best.
I came up with that on the spot.
He's only got one mouth.
I'm sorry, I'm a bit derivative.
If you could pitch shift it, it might be all right.
Chris's website, Chris's ouch moments. Have you thought that maybe the problem are the titles?
Okay. So, these are some ouch moments from my life. Presented to you from my mouth. Actually, a lot of my ouch moments, I think I wasted in the romance episode.
So this is emotional ouch.
Yeah, they're awesome. All pretty much emotional ouch.
Awesome. So, hang on, let me get my heart ready. Oh, okay.
Here is a list of them. Once I asked a girl out on a date, and she cancelled because she'd hurt her toe swimming. She didn't tell me this herself. She got her mum to call me.
Oh no.
Ouch.
You got a note. She got a note from her mum.
Yep.
How old were you?
Probably about 21.
Oh, that's worse.
Crushing.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Did you ever speak to her or her mother again?
No.
Did you date her mum?
No. Should have gone out with her mum.
Totally.
Yeah. I had tickets to MIFF. That's the Melbourne International Film Festival for people who aren't from Melbourne.
That's a good date.
Yeah, I know. I had great tickets. I don't know what was wrong.
Who'd you give the extra ticket to?
I didn't go. I was too crushed.
Spread out.
I was crushed.
Went by himself and spread out.
I hurt my toe swimming.
How do you hurt? Like, at least go on something plausible.
I know. Exactly right. When I was a teenager, I was in a film and TV extras agency. That's like an agency that gets you roles on film and TV as an extra.
Yeah, the clue's in the title, champ.
When I told the agent I was leaving their agency to join an agency where they'd give me actual speaking roles, she wished me luck in my future as a background actor. Ouch.
You realise that you weren't going to be the next foreground actor.
Yeah.
Did you ask her out?
I took her to the movie.
Took her mum to a swimming pool.
At
broke her
13,
toe.
13, my grandmother told me I was starting to develop jowls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that stuck with me.
Is she dead?
Yes.
Good.
One day, my
car... The jowls stuck with you? Or
yeah. One day, my car was broken into. And some possessions were stolen from within. And so I reported it to the police. And the police officer asked me what had been stolen from the car. And I told him that there were a lot of my notebooks. Like every notebook basically from my entire life was in that car. And that had been stolen. And he said to me, so there wasn't anything actually valuable then.
Ouch.
Ouch.
That hurt my heart.
Yeah.
That one hurt my heart. By the way, that was during a Man Bites God recording session.
It was. It was in Richmond.
In Richmond.
Yep.
We were recording Gold. You'd brought some notebooks for the last minute lyrics.
Yep.
And some junkie sold them for smack.
Yeah, threw them in a gutter.
Here are some jokes. Can I have some smack?
Yep. When I was a teenager, I used to go and visit my family in Brisbane, and I'd have to take the Greyhound bus all by myself. Mm-hmm. And one time I was...
no driver.
Yeah, all by myself. So I had an empty seat next to me on this one particular trip.
Because your date didn't turn up.
Look, she can't come with you to Brisbane. She's heard her toe moonwalking or something. This is her grandfather.
And I was sleeping on the bus, and I woke up to see a little kid hanging over the back of the seat in front of me, and he's waking me up. He's like, hey, and I've gone, what? And then once I've woken up and realized what's happening, he's gone, you've got two seats because you're a fatty. And then... And then he's dropped back down into his seat. Like, he had to wake me up and tell me that and then run away. Luckily, that kid was sitting in the seat in front of me. So, for the rest of the trip, he got a lot of kicks in the ass.
So, you're on your way to see your family?
Yeah.
Were your grandmother?
Yeah, probably my grandmother.
Did she tell you had jowls?
Probably around about that point.
How old are you?
Oh, I don't know, probably 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. No, yeah. I wasn't sure. I love that he waited. He had to tell you.
I know. He had to wake me up.
Had
I was asleep.
Yeah, me. Doritos all over you.
I once got a review in The Age for a comedy festival show that I was involved in.
Were we involved in it?
No.
Okay, so early. Go on.
And the journalist wrote, I assume the sold-out audience was comprised mostly of family and friends who were laughing mainly in support throughout the show.
Damned with cunty praise.
I got invited to
that. By the way, that was Chris's grandmother. I wrote the review.
She wrote the review.
She's one of the people laughing supportively.
In pen, in the margin, yeah. Next to the crossword.
Left it for it. Woke him up on a greyhound and showed it to him. By the way, once again, and I've said this before when Mark's done a similar thing, it's so much funnier if you picture it all happening on the one day. It's just so much funnier.
Is it pretty much all the one day? I got invited to the wedding of a girl I was good friends with in high school, but I didn't actually know anybody at the wedding.
That's hard.
Because
she's busy.
Yeah, that's right. She's busy.
That's hard.
Didn't know anybody else, but, you know, you can make friends.
You're it's a personable possible. Guy. You're a nice guy.
And then I got seated at a table, which was extremely clicky, and basically nobody talked to me. And then when the photographer came to our table to take the photo, the girl, one of the girls, got up, said to the photographer quietly but not quiet enough, can you frame that guy out because he's not part of our group?
Ouch. That hurts too. That's hurt my heart.
Yep.
That's all. Look, if it's any consolation,
yeah.
That girl's miserable.
Yeah, I hope so.
Right now, she's miserable. You know what she's doing? She is uploading something to Facebook that no one will look at.
Yeah.
So don't worry. I wouldn't worry too much about that. What a terrible person.
That was my grandmother.
No. if she was here right now, I would waggle a finger at her.
Yeah. Well, I uploaded a silly video to YouTube and then somebody wrote a comment at the bottom that said, not funny enough for YouTube.
Oh. What was the video?
Oh.
It was a video of... Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. You can't go that far and stop.
It's a long story. Do you remember those things where people used to put up photos of... I took a photo of myself every day and and this is...
It's like a morphing thing.
It's a weird, freaky... Yeah, yeah. Like, and I put up one which was literally one joke that was I took a photo of myself every night for 18 years and all it was black frames all the way through.
It's fine. Right.
Had a few little like quotes on top to, you know, a few bits of commentary on top that you know, helped the gag along. But this person did not think it was, you know, just, I mean, obviously the bar is quite high on YouTube.
Yes. Oh,
and you've really got to.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, that is funny enough for YouTube.
Mm. Yeah.
The age.
The main guy's a bit jowly though.
Yeah.
Harder to tell in the dark.
I recently went to a meeting with my dad's lawyer to sign power of attorney documents. Mm-hmm. And my dad had mentioned to this lawyer that I was a filmmaker and I'd been to some festivals around the world and I ran my own production company. And then the lawyer said, my 15-year-old son wants to be a filmmaker when he grows up, even though I keep encouraging him to aim higher.
Wow. Maybe you should teach him some tact.
Yep.
Did you say that? What did you say? Come on, you're an adult now.
I laughed. I laughed and went, let's sign these documents.
These are the saddest list of things in the world.
And here is my final ouch moment.
Oh, God. I want to kill everything.
Many years ago, when I was performing with the group that got the bad review in The Age.
Yeah. Before you stepped up.
A high-profile comedian.
Before you aimed
higher. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You got off that Greyhound bus and joined Membites God.
A high-profile Australian comedian who was at the gig said to one of my comedy partners, because there were three of us on stage, he said to her, you two are funny. That other guy is just kind of the end boy.
Ooh.
Yep.
Can you off mic? You're going to tell me who that is, aren't you?
It's
Oh, but, what a cunt. Piece of
that's the story.
He's
just bringing it all down there. That's my ouch moments. There are others, but I left them out of the list.
I don't want to go on.
Yeah.
I hate full stop.
Hey golfers, guys and gals, get yourself ready for some fun. You may be the lucky one to sink that ace at the Moose Charities Hole in One. The Moose Charities Hole in One.
I think we need some happiness.
Yeah.
Can I'm going to reach for happiness.
Please. Right.
Oh, my God, Chris. I want to hug you and punch you. this is a red story. It's something I wrote especially for this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough one, man. I do want music under it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is because it's kind of an adventure story. But it's set in a sleazy, dark world.
Mm.
But it's got an uplifting hero.
Huh.
So, I mean, you'll hear it.
Yeah.
But whatever music you choose, or backing or whatever, would start now. The Legend of the Lil Nuzzler. This story is set in a place where wrestling is real. Before we go any further, you have to picture that in your mind. This story is not set in the pretend wrestling world where dainty, preening, steroid-gorged men in brightly coloured tights and capes dance and prance around one another in a kind of slabby ballet of predictability, using violence so pretend that it becomes just a shitty interpretive dance which won't even fool the children who still believe in the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. This story takes place in a dark, seedy, shadowy world where lean, sinewy men wear masks that make them look like devils, skeletons, or the ghosts of their dead ancestors, and fight one another without mercy or submission for the price of a bag of rice, or, for the few lucky ones, a slightly larger bag of rice. In these illegal underground wrestling clubs, a man would think nothing of pulling another man's spine out through his face. Every violent, putrid moment was cheered by the equally violent and putrid crowd. They drank and cheered until one man stood victorious, his opponent reduced to slimy, writhing collections of loose skin, organs and fluid, flopping uselessly in the ring like the gizzards of a freshly gutted trout, but with more screaming. And into this bloody, remorseless world stepped the Lil Nuzzler. The Lil Nuzzler was a cute 8-year-old girl called Pixie Ann. Her wrestling costume consisted of flannel pajamas, which had pictures of cartoon ponies on them, and a bright yellow homemade mask. She had her hair in pigtails and was holding a small stuffed toy giraffe called Simon. She turned up at one of the dankest wrestling venues in the entire underground community one night and asked to fight. She was immediately admitted, as the only rules for wrestlers were no shoes, no belt, no personal insurance. There were no distinctions given for age, sex, weight, or mental ability. Incidentally, this is why unwitting tourists who wandered into the wrong doorway were sometimes pulled into the ring and made to compete. Their cries of, "No, wait, please, no, no," were misinterpreted by the crowd as a kind of fight song, and they all chanted, "No, wait, please, no, no," happily, as the tourists were squashed and splintered into hideous sculptures of death and blood and entrails. The Lil Nuzzler wanted to fight the toughest wrestler on the scene, an enormous building of a man called El Mamo. El Mamo had never lost a fight and liked to boast that he had killed more men than Jesus. Someone had pointed out that Jesus hadn't actually killed that many people. El Mamo would have killed him. His patented move was the ball buster. El Mamo would bring down his fist onto an opponent's head so hard it would push their eyeballs out through their nasal passages. He would then viciously bite open his opponent's scrotum, suck out his testicles, and spit them into his opponent's empty ocular cavities. He would then put the eyeballs into the bloody scrotal sacs and scream his catchphrase, "You look funny!" If the opponent had not died by then, El Mamo would put his hands into each side of his opponent's mouth and tear open his head like he was opening a Christmas present. To be honest, El Mamo's ball buster move was kind of dull to watch. And his catchphrase was terrible. But no one was going to tell El Mamo that. It was said that El Mamo didn't know the meaning of the word mercy. He also had less than a passing understanding of words like hygiene and manners. And it was patently clear that he didn't really know who Jesus was. El Mamo was the baddest hombre in a sea of bad hombres. The Lil Nuzzler wanted to fight El Mamo for revenge. El Mamo had brutally killed her father. Little Nuzzle's father wasn't even a wrestler. He was just selling popcorn at the wrestling venue when he accidentally stood too close to the ring. El Mamo picked him up and tore him in two like a wishbone, then proceeded to use his splintered bones to stab at his actual opponent. It was a legal wrestling move, though, because throughout the whole time, El Mamo did not wear shoes, belt, or have personal insurance. And so El Mamo had left Lil Nuzzler an orphan. Lil Nuzzler's mother was the wrestler that El Mamo stabbed to death with the splintered bones of her father. And tonight was payback. El Mamo and the Lil Nuzzler squared off against one another as the crowd roared and cheered. El Mamo's plan was to catch the Lil Nuzzler between his enormous hands and squeeze her to death like a violent accordionist. But the Lil Nuzzler had other plans. And the moment the bell was rung, she unleashed her own trademark move, the Lil Nuzzle. As El Mamo ran at her, the Lil Nuzzler started doing a cute little dance from one foot to the other. She was also singing a cute little song about her stuffed giraffe, which she was still carrying. Then she started moving the giraffe and doing a deeper giraffe voice, so it looked like they were performing a kind of duet. La la la, she sang. Then, la la la, in a deeper voice, while moving her giraffe's head, so it looked like he was singing. The whole thing was adorable, and gradually the crowd, who had been screaming for blood, started to go quiet. Then the Lil Nuzzler ran at El Mamo as fast as she could, screaming, "Ah!" in her little voice. She hit one of El Mamo's legs at high speed, bounced off it, and fell on her bottom. She got up with a cute little scowl on her face and started to cry. The crowd said, "Aww," in unison, and before he could stop himself, El Mamo had gathered up the weeping little child in his arms and was giving her a big hug. That's when Lil Nuzzler went in for the kill. She nuzzled into El Mamo's massive neck, all the while making cute little puppy sounds as she did so. "Arr, arr, arr," she said. This move instantly melted the hearts of everyone in the crowd, and most of them left to call their children or buy flowers for their partners. El Mamo started giggling like a little boy, and having never been loved before, he sank to his knees, gently cuddling the little Nuzzler and keeping her safe. He barely noticed as the referee counted him out and declared Lil Nuzzler the winner. The Lil Nuzzler hadn't noticed either. She was all puffed out. She'd fallen asleep in El Mamo's huge arms. He gently carried her home that night, and in the morning, he used all his accumulated prize money to buy her a real pony of her own. And so she had her revenge. The end.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better.
Is that better?
Than
it's uplifting, at least.
Yeah. Chris's misery.
Chris's.
I feel good.
Chris's.
I knew that I would.
Diatribe of sadness. I'll give you an out story. This is a true story. Mm. Didn't happen to me, so it's funny.
Easy.
Colleague of mine met a guy and just kind of in the course of her day met a guy. And the guy said, "Hey, do you want to, you know, maybe catch up for lunch?" And it was a date. It's clearly a date. Like it's hey, you know, friends of friends. They met in a place. Let's meet up for lunch. Mm. So she went, "Yeah, that'd be nice." Apparently a nice guy. Handsome guy. So she turns up for lunch. Guy's got a wife that is there. Huh. At the table with them. And it becomes clear during the course of the conversation that the guy had said, "Oh, yeah, I'm just going out for lunch." And the guy's wife had tagged along and the guy couldn't shake her. So this girl went on a date and a guy brought his wife and his kid. So in order to explain, I guess, why the guy would be meeting a strange young girl for lunch, the wife has just assumed that she's applying for the job of nanny for their child. So the guy, understandably sheepish and embarrassed, is mostly off playing with the kid as his wife interviews his would-be girlfriend for the position of nanny of their child. Ouch.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really happened. Life is amazing. I know, right? Wow. And it's not her fault. She didn't know the guy was married.
No.
She did, and she elegantly she didn't shout him out. She handled it with great aplomb. She said she'd think about it. And then when the job rolled around, she got her mum to call and say she'd hurt her toe while swimming. Imagine, 21. How old was the girl? 21 as well.
Yeah, yeah. I literally, to join all the dots together, I met her as an extra on a shoot. So it really does connect all the dots together.
Imagine if nowadays you could just get your parents to call and give, like, if you were sick at work, you should get your mum or dad to call, even though, you know, I'm in my late 30s.
Yeah.
Hi, is James' dad. He's not well. No, we don't live with him.
Yeah. But
he's a bit under the weather. Do you want me to write a note? I will.
Yep. I did get a call. I got a call just to complete the story, give a bit of closure.
Yeah.
I got a call after I got the call from her mum. I got a call from her housemate who said, look, this particular girl has just broken up with her boyfriend and he's a dick and we all hate him, but she's having a lot of trouble moving on and that's why she's not coming tonight. But,
the toe was a ruse?
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
It wasn't really a swimming injury.
Yeah, no.
So her mother was complicit in this lie?
Oh, yeah. Her mother was fully complicit in the lie.
I wonder this girl is so
fucked. But the housemate was giving it all away and told me to persist. That sounds like a great
idea. Was the housemate
pretty? I don't know. She called me on a phone. It wasn't FaceTime or anything.
Date the housemate.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a free ticket. Do you want to come out? You seem like a nice person.
Yeah, I should have done that.
Yeah.
I was young. I didn't understand these things.
Well, now you know.
It's a tough one.
Yep.
Ouch.
Yep.
I'm back to angst now. worked so hard to turn it around, and I just can't.
No.
Here's a song that we're not playing it live. It's on a EP. It's playing. We don't have. I forgot my guitar.
Don't give it away. We are playing it live, and we just play it really well.
Forgot my guitar.
I'm getting the electronic drums set up as we speak.
I've got a bigger phone.
So sit very, very still because the ambulance is on its way.
Ouch.
Until you're feeling better. Mm. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
And you know, you should download and tell people about us and
Facebook
share it
and Twitter.
Twitter it and all that junk.
We're probably on LinkedIn as well and maybe Pinterest. Check out Pinterest. We might be on Pinterest. Who knows? By the time this podcast goes out, we might be on Flickr.
Maybe. Maybe we'd be on Flickr.
And good night.
Oh, fuck. This outro is broken. Yeah.
Good one.
Cut. Fucking.
Find episodes and more at theatreoftheworld.com.
I started a phone sex line staffed entirely by dogs. And the best one is the one that's a little husky. Told you, that's a sound check joke.
It's not in the show. This is Man Bites God. This is...